This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on our communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, as we get ready to end this year, it's gone fast, it's a good time to reflect on areas of improvement and habits that we would like to leave behind us. Which is why I'm suggesting we retire the use of some common phrases or cliches. I've chosen five phrases that, in my strong opinion, you need to stop saying today. Well, each of these phrases that I've selected, I think a lot of times we think of them as phrases that build trust or credibility. They don't. They destroy it. And you've probably heard or have at least used three of them every single week without realizing it. They're subtle at first. Once we gain some awareness to this, I think it's going to be beneficial. The good news is once you are aware, these are easy to fix. And the alternatives, they're simpler, they're more honest, and they bring clarity to your communication. So before we dive in and retire some language that's holding you back, we have a word of the day. Today, that word is platitude. We'll define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. With the Institute's coaching, leave a legacy that endures, foster careers, and drive community impact. Start your journey today at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. All right, we are back, and the word of the day is platitude, and this is a noun. A platitude is the singular form, platitudes, plural, the definition, a remark or statement that has been used too often to be interesting or thoughtful. A cliche that sounds meaningful but is actually empty. Oh, if I could give you an example, it would be this. Stop relying on platitudes and be the professional you are. And this is where we're going to go into the five phrases that I would love to see retired and never used again. You're going to like this first one, especially. Phrase number one. This is a big one. If it were my mother's car. The phrase everyone in our industry loves. It's the one you've heard 1,000 times. You've probably said it yourself. If it were my mother's car, I'd do this repair. Why do we say it? I think it's really just because we're trying to prove we care. And we're trying to show we're not just selling something. We want the client to know that we've made some recommendation for someone we love, the same type of recommendation, right? It's a noble intention with terrible execution. What your client actually hears, and what I hear now when I hear this phrase is, great, here comes the rehearsed sales pitch. It feels like a manufactured intimacy. And if you're assuming a level of trust, that may not exist yet. It also is just simply cliche and therefore completely ignorable. It's my opinion that this phrase has been just completely beaten to death in the industry. It's on every script. It's every training manual, every role play session. Your clients have heard it before multiple times, probably from multiple shops. And when you say it, even if you genuinely mean it, it sounds like you're reading from a script. It's insincere. I don't want to say, though, that it's not completely useful. I do know that clients use this phrase as well. And it does get interesting because I think the one time that this phrase actually works is when they say it, not you. When a client asks you, what would you do if this were your mom's car? That's a completely different situation. They've initiated the question in this case, and they're asking for your personal opinion. You can answer it honestly and directly, or if their personality is compatible with your humor, you could do something more fun. Say, like my mom's car? Oh, heck no. I sent her to my competitors to ruin their day. Or something more like, oh, my mom. Oh, she's out there driving all right. You need this done to stand the best chance to avoid her. Whatever. What I love about when they do ask this is it does open the door to a better approach. What do you say instead? If they ask the question, you get to affirm their decision-making capabilities, right? I think it's sort of a cop-out question to use, like, oh, if this was your mom's, I think they've already made a decision if they're asking you this, because they know what every red-blooded human being is going to say if it's their mother's car and you're making a recommendation and you're the salesperson in an auto repair shop. It's a given. And you can approach it that way. You can simply absorb it for exactly what it is. Say, hey, Mr. Client, you're asking that question to me. I think you know my answer. Yeah. It's like their moment of conviction that they have already realized and they just needed that extra affirmation. And I think that's where you need to focus instead. And you really do. You have a real opportunity to restate how you care about them, not just your mom. You are already, you care about all the people that you're making recommendations to. Just explain the repair thoroughly. Digital documentation, very helpful. Show them the evidence. Walk them through the consequences of not doing it. But let your professionalism show you care, not your analogies about family members that you've never met, they've never met, no one's met. Just be clear, factual, and professional. No pitch, no family analogies, just the truth. Retire the mother's car line. I mean, really, when you think about it, how many service advisors have you ever heard use this line? And it's probably almost daily. I know. I've been there. I've heard it. People have used it on me. Does anyone ever sit there and think, oh, wow, brilliant approach. Absolutely. Yes. I don't think so. I think it's just completely overused. And so is phrase number two. You ready for this one? Phrase number two. To be honest with you. That's the phrase, to be honest with you, or its cousin, I'll be honest, right? I think we tend to use this one for emphasis. And I do believe anyone using it really is just simply trying to sound sincere. I think I fall guilty to this one myself. When I slip out of a conscious form of communication, I know it does. I know I've used this one. This is going to be a hard one to retire for all of us because it requires very keen awareness. When it's used, I think it is very safe to say that we want the client to know this particular statement is really important and really true, right? But here's what they actually hear. So you've been lying up till now? Think about it. If you have to announce that you are about to be honest, what does that suggest about everything you have said before? Were you being dishonest? Half truthful? Were you running a con? Of course not. But that is the implication here. This phrase implies your default state is something other than honesty. And once a client thinks that, even subconsciously, that's a little ding to the credibility. You could lose them. So here's the fix. Just be honest. No announcement needed. What I've started to see with this phrase, though, and I look at this phrase pretty much like I look at any but, so, you know, filler words, Toastmasters, we drill those filler words out of each other by drawing awareness with the role in the meeting who's their one person's job is to count all of the filler words that every single speaker throughout the meeting uses. Many advisors are using the honest phrase here as a simple filler. I believe the most common filler other than stuff like this is probably the word so. So is the most common one that I even hear it debated is like, oh, that's not technically wrong to use it there. Technically, there is no wrong. I mean, maybe you can say whatever you want to say, but try it out a moment. Think about it this way. If I said, to be honest with you, this repair can't wait. It's no better than saying, this repair can't wait. What should you say? This repair can't wait. If you need to capture attention, use their first name even. Say, Joe, this repair can't wait. If you have to do that, they're at least personalized. There's no sweeter sound than one's own name. That would be a great way to approach it. But we're going to retire. To be honest, it's a filler just to be honest. It's a filler without the disclaimer. Yeah, no. What I mean to say in that is, just be honest, without the disclaimer. There it is. The top shops in the industry don't stop at one location. At the Institute, we work with shop owners who want to expand, whether it's opening a second shop, acquiring new businesses, or building systems for long-term growth. Some of our clients are aiming for hundreds of shops, and we're helping them get there. Ready to scale? To get started, visit weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search, and let our expert team help you sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected, while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Phase 3. This one's kind of similar to the last one, and I think it's kind of used the same way. Trust me. Here's a fun little psychological trap. The phrase, trust me, when we say it, we're trying to overcome skepticism. The client may seem uncertain. We want them to believe us, so we say, trust me. And it backfires. A lot of the time, at least. Here's why. Trust is not something you can demand. It's not even something you can ask for. It's something you earn and build by consistently doing what you say you are going to do. Think about it this way. Who says, trust me, most often? Scammers? Liars? Politicians? Same thing. Okay, sorry. No, people are trying to cover something up will say, trust me, right? People who've actually earned trust, they don't need to say it. So when you say, trust me, even though you're legitimately trustworthy, you're using the same language that people who aren't trustworthy are using. Your client's brain will make that connection instantly. And it may even raise red flags in people who don't have an established relationship with you. So what do you do instead? And I do say, what do you do instead? And what do you say instead? Because this is something that you can do at the beginning of the visit. We want to build that trust through repeated actions that actually represent something that we said we would do. And then we deliver on that. One thing I do frequently with Autoflow is we're teaching service advisors to set good expectations up front at the visit. Get excited about whatever it is that you're doing. Say, hey, Mr. Client, we're going to get your car checked in here. And as soon as I do this, you're going to get a text message from me. Sure enough, a few seconds later, ding, text message goes through. You see that, say, hey, great. You can reply to that. I'll see the message right here on my screen. When we finish our inspection, you'll get another message from me right there on your phone with a link to the multimedia inspection form with pictures and videos of your car. Sound good? Right. Sounds great. And then you do the inspection. Then you send the inspection and they get the inspection. And wow, okay, we've just kept stacking up a pattern of this guy's doing exactly what they said they're going to do. Oh, there are pictures and videos just like he said there would be. And trust is built over a series of actions. That's how trust works. And it's really hard to rebuild once it's done. And you can never just say, trust me, to shortcut it. So the bottom line on this, you show your work. You explain the process. Let them verify. Give them access to evidence that you are trustworthy. Don't just say, trust me, you need new tires. Say, let me show you why I'm recommending new tires. Here's the tread depth. We're at 330 seconds, but safe performance drops off around 430 seconds. Here's what we measured. Here's what happens to braking distance in the rain at this level, right? You build trust by a series of events, and then the things that you say are just another thing that you're going to deliver on that happen to be also very true. And that's that. That's how you build trust, not by demanding it, by earning it through transparency, which is another word that probably needs to die, but we're going to retire for right now the phrase, trust me. Just build trust by showing them why they should. So that was number three. Let's move to number four. This one's fun. I think you'll like this one. This one makes me a little crazy, actually, because it's also a lie, and everybody knows it's a lie, including you. I'm not trying to sell you anything. That's the phrase. I'm not trying to sell you anything, but you really should consider replacing those struts. Okay, yes, you are. You're absolutely trying to sell them something. That's your job. You're a service advisor. You sell automotive services. There is nothing wrong with that. But when you pretend you're not selling, and when you try to position yourself as some neutral third party just offering guest-friendly advice about their car, you're insulting the client's intelligence. There's really no one who doesn't get that your role here is to sell service. They know you work at a shop. They know shops make money on services. They know you're probably incentivized to recommend repairs at some level. Acting like you're not, that's when they start wondering what else you might be dishonest about. So I've talked about this a number of times, a few different ways, but I do believe that this particular kind of phrase comes from shame, or even an actual overcompensation, if you will, for the stigma that's been on our industry for a long time. Auto repairs had such a bad reputation for overselling that we've now started to apologize for just doing our day-to-day jobs. It makes us somehow feel better by suggesting that we're not selling. We're just telling them what it needs, or some other phrase like that. You can stop apologizing. Just tell them what you found, explain what it means, give them options, own your role. As a professional, the definition of a professional really is that you get paid to do this thing. Don't say, I'm not trying to sell you anything, but your cabin air filter is really dirty. Say something more like, your cabin air filter looks like a rogue science experiment. Here's the photo. This affects your air quality, your HVAC performance. Replacement is $45. It takes 10 minutes. Want us to handle it today, or would you like to do it yourself? I can show you where it is. That's professional. That's honest. That's selling without apology. You are selling. So just own it. Do it with integrity. That itself will, I believe, build trust. So again, we're retiring a disclaimer here. Build trust by being a professional who's proud of their work. The only thing I have to insist and do agree emphatically with Carm Capriotto and the language from The Rise, one thing we never do in this industry ever is upsell. Retire that word too. Bonus word, right? All right, phrase five. Last one, and this is subtle, but it's deadly. Like I said, you need new brake pads. Like I said, when we use this, we're repeating ourselves in most cases. The client maybe didn't hear us the first time. They're asking the same question again. So we preface our answer with, like I said, there's all kinds of tones for it. Like I said, right? No, you can really do it. You could trickle it in. Like I said, yeah, sounds harmless, right? Here's what most people hear, and certainly your clients. You're basically saying, I already told you this. Were you not listening? Why are you making me repeat myself? Idiot, right? It's condescending. It's dismissive. It makes the client feel stupid for not understanding something the first time. And folks, we have complex novels of data that we're trying to confront them with. You're going to be repeating yourself a lot in this business. Yeah, it gets frustrating sometimes, but you can't let that show. In that statement, I believe that's exactly what it does. Shows frustration. And here's the thing. If they're asking again, it's probably because you didn't explain it clearly enough the first time, or they weren't ready to have the conversation and you didn't clarify that when you began the conversation. There's all sorts of things. Or they're just anxious. They need reassurance. They're undoubtedly just processing a a lot of information and need to hear something again. It's not their fault. It's the situation. So what do you say instead? Really, in this one, it's an omission. Just answer the question again. Like it's the first time that you've answered the question, do it with patience. That's the courtesy that you can offer them. Don't say, like I said, the alignment is off because you hit that curb. Say, the alignment is off because you hit that curb. The impact knocked your camber out of spec, whatever. Or if you want to know, if you want to acknowledge that you're repeating yourself without being condescending, try something totally different. You just say, like, let me walk through this again, or good question. Let me make sure I'm explaining this clearly. Own that element of why it's being repeated. That's respectful and that's patient, and that, like all the language we're trying to encourage here, it will build trust. So retire, like I said, maybe smack the person who uses that too often in a rude tone. Retire, like I said, build trust by treating every question like it matters, even the second time. I'd never say, like I said, to my mother. And to be honest, I'm not trying to sell you on that. Just trust me. Yeah, I just use all five of them in one little sentence there. Isn't that fun? Really, in summary, seriously now, five phrases, five fixes. Retire, if it were my mother's car, just build trust with evidence instead. Retire to be honest. Build trust by being honest without announcing it. Retire, trust me. Build trust by showing that you deliver on what you said you were going to do. And retire, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Build trust by owning your professionalism. And retire, like I said, build trust by treating every question with sincere respect. So here's your challenge. Pick one of these phrases. Just one. Pay attention this week. See how often you say it and actively work to replace it with an alternative. That's it. One phrase each week. I think we can do this. You'll be amazed how much clearer your communication becomes. Awareness itself is already a plague. You're going to probably just smack yourself when you start using these sort of things. I'm sorry for that. I'm not sorry for that. I'm not going to apologize. How much more your clients can relax. I think you're going to appreciate that. How much more you build trust just by retiring one of these phrases that's been working against you. Something to add, folks, something you're curious about, something you would like to talk about, a phrase I need to stop using, or some platitude. Craig, platitudes probably exist. Pretty certain my kids could help with that one too. But no, email me here, speakup@craigoneill.net. That's craigoneill.net. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps. Or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. And remember, please listen up to the other shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest. I love how we have the alphabet and then numbers right next to that. I mean, this is good stuff. And then, of course, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And I have to say thank you so much to all of our sponsors, the Institute, Autoflow, Inbound, Shop Dog Marketing. Thanks for joining us on our missional purpose to elevate the communication skills in our beloved industry. And thank you, all of you in our beloved industry. Thank you for joining us. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and retire those platitudes.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about. Yeah.